The best of both conventional and alternative medicine. It's the Dr. Holly Lucille Show. Here's Dr. Holly.
Well, thank you so much for coming back with us. I got to get right into this because I have lovely Joyce Lillis here with me. She is the founder of a program called the Metabolic Reset Program. She's a certified master coach and a member of the International Federation of Coaching. And I know she coaches and she does great work, but we're going to talk about stopping the torment. We're going to talk about, in fact, you can find her, and I'll say the website at the end of the segment, but stopthetorment.com. When it comes to food, Joyce, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dr. Holly. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yes, I'm so happy that you're here. I started off the hour talking to Dr. Pam Peek, and she was actually, we did a segment on how to be mindful about every mouthful. And boy, oh boy, I think there's such great information out there. I do. I think there's some terrible information and misinformation about food. But when it comes to delivering, I would say, a program or ideas on how people can get to their ideal weight or manipulate their weight for healthcare desires, I think, honestly, it would be probably pretty easy to do. Simple? I don't think so. Why? Because food is so much. It's so much in our society. It's so much in our culture. And I don't think it's just that simple. I think there's other influences. Now, you coined the term your inner food voice, which I love. How does one recognize if they're having an inner debate about food?
Well, if people have dieted, especially if they've lost and gained weight, there's a voice in their head that compromises, rationalizes, and negotiates about when to eat, how much to eat, and that is what I call the inner food voice. It comes from emotional reasons for eating, not when we're physically hungry, because we're negotiating whether to eat the cheeseburger and french fries or have a healthy salad. And right. If it's based on emotions and we've had a very stressful day, we might decide the cheeseburger is better, but it doesn't solve the problem of losing and gaining weight.
No, in fact, it probably contributes to the problem, I would say.
Absolutely, and it's so easy to get into that chatter in our heads of why it's okay, and then we make the promise that, okay, I'm just going to eat this tonight, and tomorrow I'll eat healthy, and on Monday I'll start a diet again.
That's right. So it's the slippery slope. I see it happen all the time. And shoot, my personal life with my family members and friends that I know in my circles, and also certainly in my professional life and my practice. But, you know, a lot of people think that it just takes willpower, determination, and that's what you need to lose weight. I don't really think that's true. Do you?
Well, my take on willpower is it's the ability to delay gratification. So it's short term, and when we start a diet, we'll start a diet with willpower. But as we can lose some weight and get close to our goal weight, temptation is just as great. So now temptation kicks in, and then the inner food voice is saying, I haven't had cake or candy for several weeks or months, and so now I'm allowed to have this. And that's that inner food voice constantly in that chatter. And if we can quiet that, and we can get in touch with our physical hunger and eat when we feel hungry and choose healthy foods, that's when we can lose weight and, more importantly, maintain weight. But,
right.
Doctor, it doesn't mean... I'm sorry.
No, please.
It doesn't mean that any food is forbidden. There is no good or bad food. It's how much we eat and when we eat it. And we're allowed to have a cookie or an ice cream cone. It's not that we're not allowed to have that, but when we put in our minds that it's forbidden food, then we want it all the more, and then we feel we have to eat it as much as we can because we're not going to be able to have it again for such a long time.
Yep, and you know it. You've said it, and I'm sure you've seen it. So what are some tips? What are three essential steps a person who eats from their inner voice emotionally, so they're eating for these emotional reasons, what do they need to do right now to take charge and to change this behavior?
Well, first, it's to recognize that they're negotiating with their inner food voice and get quiet and ask themselves, are they really hungry, or is something else going on in their body? Are they feeling they need a reward because they've had a stressful day? Are they feeling lonely? Are they sad? Are they happy? And then once they identify that, they can take what I call a timeout, just putting space between the food of what they think that they need to eat and what they truly should be eating if they are physically hungry. And that helps put space between eating when you're in front of the refrigerator door, picking at whatever's there, going from pasta to ice cream to cheese to whatever you have, to taking a timeout and allowing those emotions to surface. Some of my clients are not comfortable just quietly listening to their emotions. They will like to, they like to journal or type on, go to the computer. Some want to go out and garden or take a walk. But when they come back, that has passed. So 80% of the time, they don't go back to eat anything. And if they do, they're going to eat less by taking, putting that space between the food and what's going on emotionally with their inner food voice.
You know, I think that is those are such great, important steps. I mean, and people really, and you know, I was talking to Dr. Pam Peek earlier on in the show, and it was all about that, hey, you check in with your boss, you check in with, like, can you check in with yourself? Do you know where you are at from an emotional perspective? And therefore, you can, if you do, you can definitely take better change and control over this emotional eating, because I think that's so extremely important. Now, what I can almost imagine, but what do your take about, there's so many diets, and I got to tell you, when I looked up in the dictionary, what diet meant, it means habitual nourishment. And I loved that. I was like, oh my gosh, how as a habit do you nourish yourself? And I was like, I want to use that for the rest of my career. It's like just talking about nourishment. But what do you think about all these diets?
Well, there's so many diets on the market, and it's not for me to say that diets don't work, because they do work for some people that have weight to lose, and they will start that diet with willpower. But, and I work with my clients, if they are on a diet and I'm working with them, we get underneath the emotional issues when they weren't dieting and what was happening with their eating behaviors, so then they can make small shifts to help them maintain that weight. My goal is people reach their goal weight and never have to diet again. But we all have a very intimate personal relationship with food, and we don't have to share it with anyone.
Right. Wow.
So, you know, when we talk about the... I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, please.
When we talk about nutritional reasons, yes, food is a big part of our nutrition, but drinking enough water, relaxation, rest and sleep, relationships, all of this is contributes nurturing ourselves. And we need to find that balance so that food is part of it, but it's not everything.
That's right. So I think we got about a minute or so left here. Talk about, in your book it can be found on stopthetorment.com, correct?
Yes, and it's sold on Amazon.
Okay, excellent. So Joyce Lillis, stopthetorment.com. Talk to me about people who weigh themselves every day. Talk to me about, like, in your book, you have a chapter called Oh No, the Scale.
Yes. Well, I hadn't gotten on a scale for 20 years. And when I lost my weight 8 years ago, I promised myself I was never going to diet again. So I made the scale my friend. And with my clients, I helped them to see the importance. Now, there was a study done by the National Weight Control Registry, and it says people that get on the scale on a daily basis will lose 5 pounds more than others that do not. And 75% of those people will keep the weight off. So I believe that how do you know where you're going if you don't know where you're at?
Right. All right, so we've got 30 seconds. Joyce Lillis, thank you so much. I think it's so important. You do great work coaching people along to stop the torment when it comes to diet and food and nourishment and all that great stuff. There's more information like that so you can wake up, use your own mind, take control of your health here on RadioMD and RadioMD.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Your Radio MD. Thanks so much for listening. It's Dr. Lucille, Mindful Medicine.